The Institute for Veterans and Military Families is doing great things for veterans and entrepreneurship. Find out how one of their programs could be exactly what you need for your business. Coming up next on Veteran on the Move.
Welcome to Veteran on the Move. If you're a veteran in transition, an entrepreneur wannabe, or someone still stuck in that J-O-B trying to escape, this podcast is dedicated to your success. And now, your host, Joe Crane.
Mike Haney, founder and executive director of Institute for Veterans and Military Families up at Syracuse University. Thanks for being here today. Really want to look forward to talking about IVMF and what's going on and what you guys are, all the good things you're doing. I've actually had a couple folks from your organization on the show in the past. Before we get to talking about that, you're an Air Force veteran yourself. Take us back and tell us what you did in the Air Force.
Sure. So I had an interesting Air Force career by AFSC. I was an acquisition and contracting guy. I was a logistician, if you will. But then spent a little time working as an aide de camp to one of our Air Force four-star generals, and then went off to school, then picked up for a program to go teach at the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs, which really was a turning point in my career. I found out as a consequence of that assignment that I love teaching. I really enjoyed higher education. And ultimately, it was that assignment in a way that motivated me to transition out of the Air Force and to Syracuse University. Essentially a consequence of that experience, I found a second career that I was passionate about, and I wanted to continue that career, and I chose Syracuse University to do that. So I transitioned out in 2006 and came to Syracuse as an entrepreneurship professor.
Really? And so you went to Syracuse right out of your transition. You pretty much landed where you're still at. So it's
quite,
really lucky
quite
for
literally.
Most.
Yeah. For me, matter of fact, I tell the story on a first week of August on a Tuesday in 2006, first week of August, I was still wearing a uniform in Colorado. And Thursday of that same week was my first faculty meeting as a civilian here at Syracuse.
No kidding.
So my transition was 3 days.
Wow, that's awesome. Man, that's kind of one of those one in a million scenarios. So good on you for landing where you belonged right out of the gate. So you do have a, forgive me if I'm a little wrong here, but you do have a doctorate in entrepreneurship?
I do. My PhD is in entrepreneurship and business strategy from the University of Colorado.
Oh, okay, great. I actually have a master's in entrepreneurship from Oklahoma State. You know, I remember about 3 years before I was going to retire from the Marine Corps, I was like, you know, I've been, you know, this whole getting the MBA thing's been gnawing at me. And I'm like, I don't really feel I want to do that. And then I started looking around. I'm like, what? You can get a degree in entrepreneurship? Are you kidding me? I'm like, why didn't they have
Absolutely.
This back a long time ago, the first time I went to college? I would have been all over it. So I jumped on that, man. I loved the first time I went to college, I was just like doing something just to be doing something. And you know, when I was getting my master's at Oklahoma State, I was just like, holy cow, it was awesome. I loved every minute of it. I soaked it all up. Great experience, built up a network. And really, some of the projects I work on, that was the whole reason for starting this podcast, because I had no idea that there were so many people, programs, and resources out there to help veterans transition to entrepreneurship. And I'm like, if I didn't know about it, and I didn't realize all these things are out there, I'm sure most other veterans don't either. And that's the whole purpose behind this podcast.
Yeah, no, I think that's it's phenomenal in terms of the resources that are out there. Phenomenal that you created the podcast to help folks navigate those resources, because the irony of all of the resources is sometimes transitioning service members, veterans get lost in all the noise. And what I mean by that is the biggest challenge in some cases that folks face is actually navigating all of these resources in a way that they get to the ones that are right for them. Matter of fact, we did a study that Google helped us, Google funded a few years back, You know, we interviewed 8,500 transitioning post 9/11 veterans, asking them about the challenges they face when they leave the military. And interestingly, the number one challenge wasn't a job. It wasn't finding the right school. Number one cited challenge was actually navigating all of the services and resources that are available to them. So it's an interesting predicament, and you know, kudos to you for what you're doing in helping folks become informed consumers about all of the choices that they have.
And you're actually episode number 249 over 4 years I've been doing this, and I constantly run across new programs and new resources and new folks out there that are doing great things. So as much of a handle on, you know, navigating all this as I may have, mm-hmm. there's still so much out there that I have yet to run across, and, you know, managing it myself and trying to provide that to veterans and their families as they get out of the military. It is a chore. I mean, and it's constantly changing, constantly evolving. Seems like new and better stuff keeps coming up. So it is something to keep up with.
Yep, absolutely.
And so you are the founder and the executive director for Institute for Veterans and Military Families. Can you take us back and give us an idea how all that got started?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I made the transition in 2006, and you know, what your comment that it was terrific that I ended up in the right place and made that transition quickly. All of that is true, but at the same time, I have to be honest. I was a little lost when I got here. All I had known was military service. You know, I was in for 14 years, and I think in retrospect, I was looking for something to connect to. When I had the idea to launch a small program in our business school focused on entrepreneurship, a program called the Entrepreneurship Bootcamp for Veterans with Disabilities. Here I was, an entrepreneurship professor, a veteran at a school that has a top ranked entrepreneurship program. And I'd come across some academic literature that highlighted that people with disabilities in this country turn to business ownership at a rate about 7 times higher than others. And I said, here's something I can do. So, I put together a little plan. Luckily, my boss at the time, the dean of the business school, was a Vietnam era vet. And I said, I want to do this. And he gave me the green light. We launched one small program. And, you know, my point is, I think in retrospect, that was as much for me as it was for anybody who went through the program. I wanted something to connect to that had personal meaning to me. But what we learned from that experience is that, man, there's a lot we can do in higher education to have a positive impact on this community. So we built another program. We built one for caregivers, and then we built another program for women veterans around business ownership. And as these programs were growing, we look around higher education, and honestly, with the exception of some niches in some certain places, higher education has been largely disengaged in a lot of ways from the issues and concerns impacting veterans and their families. And to my surprise, not anywhere in America was there an academic institute, an interdisciplinary academic institute focused on the social economic wellness issues impacting vets and their families. So I said, why not here? Why not at Syracuse University? And, luckily I found institutional support. And in 2011, we launched the Institute for Veterans and Military Families. At the time, it was the institute consisted all of 3 people and a student worker. And we were running programs that impact maybe, 12 to 1400 veterans and service members a year. Fast forward to today, you know, now coming up on 7 years later, and that's a full-time professional team of just over 100 folks running programs in 50 states, 8 countries, and last year about 24,000 transitioning service members and veterans graduated from the portfolio programs that we run.
No kidding. How many different portfolio programs do you have? And I'm more interested in the ones that have to do with entrepreneurship, but how many total do you guys have?
Yeah. So it's about 7 or 8 different programs, mm-hmm. entrepreneurship programs, but also, you know, so one of the, one of the programs that is really just going through the roof is a program called Onward to Opportunity. That's not a business ownership program. It's a program we realized through our research that one of the ways to support post-service employment for service members is to get civilian credentials and certifications in their hand. Credentials like the PMP certification, program management professional, mm-hmm. or the HR certifications from the Society for Human Resource Management. So, in this case, in partnership with Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, we created a program, designed to, essentially provide skills training in 32 different areas, all of which leads to a different credential, license, or certification. And we run that program on 18 U.S. military installations as well as online. And we enroll somewhere between 700 and 1,000 folks a week in that program. And it's, I should have mentioned from the get-go, everything that we do, all of our programs are entirely free. So our model from the beginning was that we would work with private sector companies, engage philanthropy to fund the design development of our program so that we could offer them without any cost to veterans and their families. And those credentialing programs are a good example of that.
Wow. The credentialing programs idea, that is a phenomenal idea. This comes up all the time on the show as far as transition and veterans struggling yep. to get jobs in the civilian sector. And we always break it down to hard skills and soft skills. Veterans got the soft skills. They've got the leadership experience. They got the life experience. They've got that mission accomplishment mentality. All those things that are soft skills that are kind of intangible, hard to put down on a resume. And where they get hung up at in the job seeking process is they don't have a lot of those, depending on what your MOS was, they don't have a lot of those hard skill things like PMP and HR certifications yep. and all that. So that is a phenomenal idea just to get those X's in the block on the resume.
Yeah, no, to your point, that PMP certification is a great example. That one certification, the difference between having that and not having that is about $15,000 in your salary. Mm. Multiple studies have shown that the value of that certification in terms of your ability to earn a salary is about $15,000 a year.
And are those programs in-house, got to be on campus, or do you have variations of them?
No, we actually run them in military communities. We run them in San Diego, San Antonio, Jacksonville, North Carolina, DC. But on top of that, if you're not in one of the cities where we're boots on the ground running the program in residence, you can access all of the same credentialing opportunities via online platform. So you have we recognize that people learn differently. Mm-hmm. So we have in residency options and online options, but they get you the same place.
Wow, that's incredible. That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about some of the entrepreneurship programs that you have.
Yeah.
You mentioned the veteran entrepreneurship boot camp.
Yep.
Tell us what somebody's going to experience if they come to one of your boot camps for entrepreneurship.
It's an intense experience. This is the program that it's our longest running. The EBV is our longest running program, and it was again the program I started about 6 months after I got out of the military. It starts with about a 40 to 45 day online experience. So we put folks through in cohorts of 25. We put them through an online experience that's designed to really just level set knowledge around the general principles of business ownership. But then we take that cohort of 25 and we fly them to one of 10 universities. While the program started at Syracuse, it's become so successful that in partnership, we expanded it to 9 other universities around the country. So, for example, Texas A&M, Florida State, UCLA, LSU are all schools that are partners to the EBV consortium. We'll fly that cohort of 25 veterans to one of those 10 universities. and they go through what amounts to an 8-day immersion experience in business ownership. Start at 7 a.m. in the morning, go till 10 o'clock at night. We bring in world-class entrepreneurs from all over the United States to teach in the program. It's really designed to effectively take what might be an MBA experience that goes over a year and condense into an experiential, learn on the job kind of model condensed into 8 days. That it actually concludes then with each of those 25 veterans, with a fundable business plan and presenting that concept and go forward strategy to a group of experienced investors, venture capitalists, angel investors at the end of those eight days. But probably, honestly, the most important part of the program is then what happens next. And for the next year, you're plugged into a technical assistance model designed to help you then get that business off the ground. Everything from pro bono legal support, website design, logo design, basically a model that's designed to knock down any barrier that you otherwise may face to launching and growing a business. And the results have been remarkable. I think, we have a 60%+ venture creation rate within 6 months of folks that graduate from that program. And probably more impressive is a 5-year survival rate of businesses created by graduates of that program that exceeds 90%.
Oh, we're back talking with Mike Haney, who is the founder and executive director for the Institute for Veterans and Military Families. Mike, before the break, you were talking about the phenomenal success rate and the reach back capability and everything that's built into your entrepreneurship bootcamp programs. I really want to ask, do you have any superstar individuals that come to mind when we're talking about this? You can give us like a real life example of somebody who came through the program and they're just knocking it out of the park now?
Yeah. My biggest challenge answering that question is I have too many of those stories.
That's awesome.
Some of them, some of those stories are ones where people say, no, that can't be true. But it is. I mean, we had one young Marine locally, when I say locally, actually is from Central New York, is a kid named Chris Danbach. Chris, came through our program now 4 years ago with a real simple idea that he was going to start a landscaping business. Got one job, got another job, then started competing for some state level contracts. Bottom line, fast forward to today, he's running a company that's generating significant revenues. His company is now responsible for the landscaping maintenance contracts for every VA hospital from Buffalo all the way down to Long Island. But, his story is a great one from my perspective because it shows the perseverance that both is required for entrepreneurship, but that also comes along from military service. He got his first big break by winning a contract to do work at the Brooklyn VA Medical Center. And what he would do is, his crew, if you will, as you can imagine, was a group of young Marines, his buddies, and they would drive down to Brooklyn from Central New York, and they would actually live in and work from a van, and they would be down there all week, and then they drive back to Central New York at the end of the week, and because he knew that's what it would take to get this business off the ground, and he was willing to do it. And it really does speak to the resilience and the perseverance that I think is learned in the military, but is uniquely applicable to launching and growing a successful business.
That's awesome. Hey, Chris has been on the Veteran on the Move podcast like maybe 2-3 years ago. He tells a great story.
Was he clean? Did he keep his,
he minimized the F-bombs and everything. So
there
he did
go.
A good job.
That's good.
The classic story about Chris. Well, he actually, didn't he win like the SBA Small Business Administration award there in that region or something like that?
He won the Veteran Business Owner of the Year award a few years back for Central New York. Yep.
And I use Chris's example all the time when I'm talking to people about entrepreneurship. It's like, look, you don't, it doesn't have to be your idea doesn't have to be the next best thing since sliced bread. It doesn't have to be that you've invented the next iPhone or anything like that. Look at Chris. Yep. For the most part, he was mowing yards. He was cutting grass. But he executed on it so much better than anybody else.
Yep.
So it was really the execution.
I agree 100%.
Not the idea.
I think that is, and it's great for people to hear that, because to your point, everybody thinks it needs to be, you know, some new technology or real discontinuous innovation. At the end of the day, it's about creating a value proposition, and Chris created a value proposition.
And you know, the best story that Chris told, a story where he came back from Iraq and his reserve unit was there in New York, somewhere, I'm not exactly sure, but his Marine Corps reserve unit. And he was discharged out of the unit, and then he started this entrepreneurship stuff, and he was mowing yards, and he started going into the government contracts, going for the big yards, mm-hmm. you know, the big contracts. And he actually got the contract to mow the grass where his reserve unit was at.
Yep.
And
yep.
one day he's out there mowing the grass, and a couple of his buddies are like, "Hey, what are you doing mowing the yards? The first sergeant pissed off at you?" Or what? He's like, "No, man, I'm out. I'm done. I got the contract to mow this place." And they're like, "What?" It was a great yep. story.
That is Chris. Yep.
Yeah, so I just love hearing those success stories. And of course, Chris has taken it to a whole level even beyond just his landscape business, and has gotten heavily involved in the veteran entrepreneurship space. Mm-hmm. I still see mm-hmm. social media posts with him all the time. So I love stories like that. What do you have, another one you can share with us?
Sure. You know, one of my other favorite stories is young woman who served in the Air Force. I have to tell an Air Force story as an Air Force guy, Christina Guerrero. She's a graduate of a different program we run called VWISE, Veteran Women Igniting the Spirit of Entrepreneurship. This is a program that we launched back about the same time we created the Institute, focused specifically on women veterans. And Christina takes a little bit of a different form. It's a conference-style training event that we do in different U.S. cities around the United States, but with the same follow-on set of resources and support. Christina was somebody who was passionate about the outdoors and dogs, and she invented in her kitchen a meal replacement bar for dogs. You know, the idea of not having to carry a bag of dog food if you're going to go camping for 3 days, or military working dogs, and you think about that. They're out in the field.
Yeah.
So Christina went through VWISE. We worked with her to create the basis for a plan and a go forward strategy. And she ended up on Shark Tank and won a deal with Damon Johns on Shark Tank. And the rest is history. Her business is off to the races.
I've seen that. You know, do you remember what it's called? Like this
Turbopup. I'm sorry. I should have promoted her business. It's called Turbopup. Yep.
I might have seen it on Shark Tank, because I love Shark Tank.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
But I think I remember seeing her, and I've seen them around in stores and stuff. So
yep.
What a great idea. Basically like a like a power bar or whatever for your dog.
Yeah, like a power bar on steroids. She makes it clear it's not a snack. It's meant to replace an entire meal for a dog.
Wow. What a simple concept. I mean, we do it with people and just adapt it towards dogs. That's crazy. So, well, thanks for sharing those two case studies with us. Great to hear veterans doing great things in the entrepreneurship space. So what's been going on recently with IVMF, and where do you see IVMF going in the near future? What kind of big projects you guys got on the horizon?
Well, we're continuing to, focus on how we reach more folks with the programs that we have. We're the credentialing program, Onward to Opportunity, that I described earlier. You know, we're convinced that we have to continue pushing, you know, in terms of scalability on that program, simply because the power of credentials is so significant in terms of improving employability. So we're going to continue to push, the entrepreneurship space. Probably one of the most exciting things we're doing is we created something called the Coalition for Veteran-Owned Business. We often veterans, and Chris is an example of this, have the opportunity to take advantage of government set aside programs and government preferences for veterans in the contracting space. But I would argue the bigger opportunity that's yet to be leveraged is how do we get more veterans into veteran-owned businesses, into the supply chains of the nation's large companies. And, you know, one of the things that we're trying to do to facilitate that is we created a coalition of large companies that are committed to opening their supply chains to veterans. You know, companies like JPMorgan Chase, First Data Corporation, Disney, American Express, Prudential, Johnson & Johnson. And we essentially created an organizing structure where we work with them to, on one hand, provide resources and training to their folks to be equipped to look at veteran sourcing in terms of their supply chains. But on the other hand, we work with them to provide training and resources to veteran-owned businesses to get them to a place where they're procurement ready in the private sector. Because truth be told, if we can open up private sector supply chains to veteran-owned businesses, the sky's the limit. That market is in terms of scale and scope is tremendous, and it just really is going to take a little work on the front end to get the private sector companies to a place where they're routinely sourcing via veteran-owned business.
Yeah, you know, it brings up a question. In order to get into the supply chain as a veteran-owned business, you have to be. There's a certification process that takes place. Are you familiar with the veteran-owned service?
Very familiar. You know, so that what you just described is absolutely true on the government side. So, you know, to qualify for preference on public sector contracts, you today need to go through a certification process that's managed out of the VA. Truth be told, in spite of myths, that's not true in the private sector. There is no universally adopted. There are some organizations that have created certifications
yes.
that they would you need, but that is not there is no industry accepted standard. And truth be told, many companies don't necessarily require a certificate beyond confirming that you are in fact a veteran. You know, the government certification goes much beyond verifying your veteran status. It you also have to convince the government that you're qualified and have the skills to run the business. Mm-hmm. The private sector does not go that far. They do their own due diligence, but really the only proof required at the end of the day is your DD-214.
Interesting. Yeah, that's why I wanted to ask that question, because I know there is some confusion there. And there is an organization that does certifying. I think they're out of Michigan or Indiana. I've actually had them on the show, but it's been a couple of years. I can't remember the name of the organization, but they do veteran-owned business, service-disabled-owned business certifications.
Yeah.
But I remember talking with them about that, and I was surprised. That's when I first learned that on the civilian side, there is no governing agency that holds the blessing on veteran-owned business.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the private sector business school professor in me, but I prefer that model. I would much rather let the companies themselves decide what a veteran-owned business means. You know, obviously beyond not defining it from the perspective of, I don't even know how to say this, you have to be a veteran. what I want them to do is begin and end with the fact that somebody has served, and not necessarily get into the extent to which day-to-day, for example, this person versus that person is managing operations of the business, and the government certification goes down those pathways. And I'm not necessarily a huge fan.
Your you're not a huge fan of the civilian side of the certification process?
No, of the, so what I would not want is for the civilian private sector companies to adopt an approach similar to what the government has adopted. And I'll give you an example just to drive my point home. You know, I have a close friend, and also a veteran, obviously, who, was a very senior leader at, I won't use the name, but, a very, well-known consulting firm, had run three or four businesses, and at the time was a managing director of then yet a different consulting firm that, if I said the name, we all know. And he went to apply to get his credential, his certification, to be a recognized veteran-owned business, his own personal consulting business. And from the VA, and the response he got back after months and months of back and forth was, well, we're going to deny your certification because we don't think you have the experience required to actually run a business. Just ludicrous. And that's what I don't want, where I said I'm not a fan, is the idea of a bureaucracy making a judgment as to the extent to which somebody has the knowledge, skills, and ability to run a business or not. I think that's overreach.
Yeah. So he was actually applying through the VA, the government side of things, and got turned down just because they didn't think he was good enough to run a business.
This gentleman has had a 35-year career in the private sector running businesses. Yeah.
So it's not the VA government process is not just about, are you a legit veteran running a business?
Oh, no, not at all.
What, are you going to be running the right kind of business? Are you going to be profitable? It's all that.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Like, take, you know, back to our conversation about Chris Dambach. Take Chris Dambach, for example. Mm-hmm. It would have been in Chris's early days, that VA certification had not yet cut. The VA was not in the business of certifying at that point. Chris got started before that VA certification process got off the ground. But I say that to say that if Chris had started when that process was in place, he never would have got an opportunity to compete for a government contract. But look where he is today.
Really? So what kind of quote certification did he have back then to qualify for?
Other than verifying that he is in fact a veteran.
Okay, that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they've gotten really, really picky.
Now there's a whole process, and again, my issue is not that there's a process. My issue is that it creates barriers for folks who are just coming out of the military, don't necessarily have past experience related to running a business, but want to pursue business ownership as their aspiration. It sets up a barrier to doing business, at least with the government, which is why I'm excited about the private sector.
And some of these private sector organizations that are doing veteran-owned business certifications, has that been pretty successful in the private sector? You know, Ford Motor Company, do they really pay attention to whether you're VA government certified veteran owned or this reputable nonprofit certified veteran owned?
Yeah, I don't know. How do I answer that question without getting myself in trouble? I at the end of the day, What I think is compelling about doing business with the private sector is that all the private sector cares about is that you're a veteran and that you can deliver on what you promise. I don't think they care so much about a certification or some independent judgment applied to whether or not you deserve to be called a veteran-owned business. They want to know that you are, in fact, a veteran, that you run the business, and you can deliver on what you promised. Simple as that.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, so Mike, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I do want to give you the last word, but maybe you can work this into my last question. If somebody's interested in, you know, maybe something, obviously, if you want to go use that GI Bill and go get a degree in entrepreneurship, you know, Syracuse University is one of the best places to go. Something other than that, one of the programs we've talked about here today, how would, you know, a veteran or a family member, military spouse, if somebody wants to get involved or sign up for one of your programs, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy. I would send them to our website, which is vets.syr.edu. All of the, you know, the programmatic information, as well as, you know, details about how to enroll, who to contact, it's all on the website. So I would encourage folks who could benefit to check it out. And if you're not somebody who could benefit, but know someone who could, please, you know, please pass on the information to them.
Okay, Mike. Well, thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing the phenomenal information about all the great programs you have. I mean, I highly encourage anybody that's interested in any of these programs to get on that website, check out the programs that Syracuse has in what the Institute for Veterans and Military Families is doing. You guys have been doing great things for several years. I look forward to seeing what you guys keep doing in the near future.
Great. And thank you for telling these stories. It makes a difference.
You bet. I appreciate it. All right. Well, these two veterans are Oscar Mike. As you can tell from listening to the Veteran on the Move podcast, interviews are a great way to tell your story and spread the word about your business. If you would like to get booked as a podcast guest, I recommend Interview Valet. You can check out Interview Valet at veteranonthemove.com/valet. Be sure to check out thrive15.com, the world's premier online education platform that helps entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs learn how to start or grow a successful business. Start your free 30-day membership by going to thrive15.com and use the promo code VETERAN. Thank you for listening to Veteran on the Move, your pathfinder to freedom. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are always greatly appreciated. So until next time, this veteran is Oscar Mike.